All right, let's start this ship. All right, welcome to the Dr. Zeus podcast. I have the very effervescent, late, the great Ennio Morricone's The Ecstasy of Gold, which I'm sure many of the pro bodybuilders have walked out to. Metallica walks out to it on stage. I think they've been doing that since the 80s. It's not lost on me that tomorrow would have been Ennio Morricone's birthday. I call him the rock star of composers because, I mean, he worked on a budget. Just like bodybuilders, they work on a budget. It's about the budget. Can you afford the chicken and the fish? You can't always afford the steak because steak is expensive, okay? And I'm sure we could apply this very iconic musical ensemble or entree to bodybuilding. The good, the bad, and the ugly, because it is a process. Or as Arnold said, I
look at the body and it's like I want more of this here. I want to sculpt this and everything, you know what I mean?
And yes, he was at one point the governor of California. And from 2003, I believe, to 2011, I voted for him once. And Jason and I will talk about that. You know, what's interesting is, love or hate Arnold, and yes, he's the Terminator, and he's Commando. I always loved the Commando movie. I thought the Commando movie, I remember watching that as a really little kid and just thinking, that is the shit. You know what I mean? And then Predator, and but I always loved what he did for the Special Olympics and for the after-school programs. And you would look at Arnold, you know, despite everything that's ever been said about him, and it's like, okay, you know, that he gives back. And he, you know, travels around with a gym, and he's older now. Yes, you know, when you get older, things happen. Now, this year, I was given a clean bill of health, and so I was like, okay, it's either now or never. It's either now or never. So I joined two gyms, which was nuts. One, because it had a sauna, and then I interval training, and then I hired a trainer. It was madness. And at the end, I should have just flew to see my friend Jason Elmy, because he was a former pro bodybuilder. And as a nutritionist, and so what we would do is we would discuss, okay, this is how much protein you need, and then you should really be doing this, and you know, I would do burpees and everything, and it was an endless process. That it is a process. So it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. But also I was doing it because it was like, okay, it's either now or never. And then I had things planned where I was like, okay, I want, you know, that's my goal right there, is to, okay, when we get to that moment, you know, I'm ready, you know. And a little of it was, you know, just getting together. And then another thing was, I was going to go to a festival, and you can't, when you go to a festival, you have to walk. So I wasn't out of breath, and a friend of mine paid me a compliment. He said, see, all that hiking did you good. And I was like, yeah. So, all right, we're going to bring Mr. Almy on. I fucked it up. Okay, let me bring him. How are we doing this? You got a request. And we will talk about, I got the book right here. I got the book, yeah. You know, we'll talk about all that and the towel slapping and everything. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Are we ready? Okay. Okay, are we ready? Okay, and yes. Let's see what it does. Ah, there we go. The man!
What's going on, Dr. Zeus?
What's going on, Jason Almy?
Just trying to stay warm. It fucking snowed in New Hampshire today. What the fuck?
We can trade places. I'm in California, you're in New Hampshire. You know?
Yeah, fuck this.
Yeah, yeah. So I opened the show with Ennio Morricone's The Ecstasy of Gold. And
oh, yeah.
as a former bodybuilder, did any of your compadres or anyone that you know ever walked out to that?
Not that I know of, not that I can remember, but I mean, there's bodybuilding competitions every weekend in the United States. Somebody had to
Yeah.
have walked out and posted
Totally.
that at some point, but I never saw it happen.
Okay.
Most of the people posed to really shitty music. People would always choose like something like, I don't know, something like hard rock or
Guns
something like that.
N'
Like, yeah,
Roses.
I'm like, fucking, yeah. All that shit, you know? There
Yeah.
wasn't enough good music. But.
So I was telling the audience back in May, I went on this, it's either now or never. It was also because
Yeah.
I was getting ready for a festival, Aftershock. And I consulted Jason and I said, okay, what should I eat? What should I do? And I mean, I
I
took
said it doesn't matter what you eat as long as you pull your trigger and throw it up
a.
afterwards. You got to get in there
Yeah.
with two fingers and throw it all up
I
after and
took
you're good. It doesn't
the ice
matter.
bath once, never again. That scared the crap out of me.
You did an ice bath?
I did an ice bath, no, maybe
Yeah.
twice in June after interval training. And
Yeah. I don't know.
it was too much.
I don't know like scientifically what the impact of
Yeah.
ice bath is on body composition, but I did one at a Russian banya for Adam's wedding. We took him to a Russian banya the night before his wedding, and they have like saunas and shit, and they had like a ice plunge, like a cold plunge, and that was the coldest goddamn water I've ever been in. That shit was incredibly cold.
Yeah. So,
That
oh,
was
you got it. You come down with a cold?
damn.
Oh
That's why I'm
man.
all bundled up. It's snowy outside. It's like, what can I
Get that
do? I gotta get a,
whiskey.
I got, yeah, I gotta find some herbal tea and whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah. So, how many years were you a bodybuilder for?
I started lifting like seriously in like
Okay.
2006. So it was about 10 or 11 years. I was competing starting in 2012. So I competed for like about 5 years,
Okay.
but I was like seriously lifting. I spent several years before starting to compete, just, trying to get really big, lifting a lot of weights and shit like that, trying to get knowledgeable and stuff. And yeah, so like the first 5 years I wasn't competing, but I was like, trying to get ready to like prepare myself for it. And then the last five I was actively competing pretty much every year.
What was the catalyst for that? Was I was talking about Arnold and all these other
Yeah.
bodybuilders. Was it Arnold or?
Well, I mean, definitely like, I mean, growing up in the 1980s and like being a young boy, what was on TV? Like, what were you watching? Like, you were
Commando.
watch, yeah, you weren't watching these soy boy sparkly vampires and
No.
shit like that. I mean, your mental image of like masculinity was like, it was like fucking Arnold and shit, and like the Terminator and Commando, and
I'll be back.
yeah, and to a lesser degree, some of the other icons of the 80s, guys like Stallone
Lou Ferrigno.
and yeah, Lou Ferrigno a little bit, Louie a little bit. But yeah, so like definitely like coming up, Arnold, yeah, you're like, shit, yeah, like
Yeah.
this is how you do it. You bodybuild for a little while, you win the Olympia a couple of times, you go to Hollywood, you get paid $10 million, you marry a Kennedy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how it goes down for everybody. So
So, what were the highs and what were the lows of bodybuilding
yeah,
for you?
yeah. Definitely I think the highs, like the everyday, the day-to-day shit was like just random people in public being like, fuck, dude, you're huge. Because that was sort of like, yeah, that's what I'm going for. So when like a stranger in a supermarket is like, bro, you're fucking huge, and I have no idea who this person is, I've never met them before, but they're telling me I'm huge, and I'm like, well, it must be working. Also competing, that was more rare. That was a couple times a year, but like that was also pretty awesome, because you'd have all this time leading up to the competition, you'd be like getting leaner and leaner, you'd be taking progress photos, and then obviously you'd cherry pick those and like post some of them on Instagram and shit. And it would just be like, you'd get a lot of you get a lot of, for somebody like me who's an extrovert and I like attention, like that shit worked okay for me. I was like, shit, yeah, like people are noticing me. So that was always fun. And yeah, so that was the highs. The lows, I don't know. Like I just yeah, maybe the sleep apnea, maybe being really tired, like competing like before a show, like getting ready, like doing all the shit you got to do to get ready for a show, getting like wicked lean is very consuming. It's hard to like have anything else going on in your life. Like it really does consume all of your attention and focus, where that's all you're thinking about, that's all you're doing day in, day out. And so like other people in your life, like your wife or like your parents, your brothers, your friends are all like, what the fuck, dude? Like, let's just go hang out. Let's do like, why did, like, make shit simple. Why do you have to bring chicken and eat it in the parking lot of the restaurant? Like, you can't just fucking buy chicken at the restaurant. Like, why you gotta be sitting in the parking lot eating chicken? Because you can't bring your own food inside the restaurant. It's just, stuff like that, obviously. And I mean, I don't think it's great for your health either. So like that's obviously one of the lows as well. Is I think like long term, that shit is gonna catch up to you, unfortunately.
So like you've been out of it since when?
2017. I my last competition was in 2016, but I was like continuing to train, and I was probably going to compete in 2017 as well, either in New York or Boston. And but then in like the spring, like late February, maybe March sometime, I got a diagnosis of cardiomyopathy. And so like at that point it was like you can't even exercise for a little while. Like that was either the doctor was like, don't even exercise because you could like fucking drop dead lifting weights. And I was like, well, I don't want to drop dead, so I'll listen to what the doctor says. And at that point I quit doing steroids and all the stuff that goes with competitive bodybuilding, all the fun stuff, all the growth hormones and shit. I missed that shit. That shit was good shit. But I don't think it was good for me shit, obviously, as evidenced by the cardiomyopathy. So I quit all of the like the performance enhancing drugs, as they call them, the PEDs,
Fun stuff.
and yeah, the fun stuff. And I would just do, I would do a little bit of like walking, but that was all I could do for a while. Like I wasn't cleared to do anything besides like go for a walk, like go for a stroll, So in 2017, yeah, that's when it was spring of 2017, and I just kind of shifted my focus at that time to like achieve other goals. I was like, if I'm not gonna, I'm not, I don't want to go back to bodybuilding. I've seen enough people die. Professional bodybuilding people like, yeah, I'm perfectly healthy, like Rich Piana. I'm perfectly healthy. And then 6 weeks later, that motherfucker's dead. And you're like, perfectly healthy, huh,
And you
motherfucker?
didn't have to
That's
wear
why you did?
those, you don't have to wear those posing trunks anymore.
No, yeah. I'm gonna miss those. Those were fun.
So,
I have like a nice blue pair that I really like.
nice
Probably
blue
still got
pair.
them around here somewhere.
If
I wear them on my wife's birthday.
your kids were to come to you now and say, Dad, I want to do bodybuilding, what would you say?
I'd say, kid, you're fucking four. Like, wait 10 years, come talk to me in a decade. You're fucking four. I don't know. I don't think I would wanna, I don't wanna like discourage anybody. At the same time, like, I don't know, man. I don't want my kids doing drugs like that,
No, no.
I don't want my kid doing drugs like performance enhancing drugs. I mean, like the type of, it helps me that I have daughters. Like the type of drugs that women would do are different, obviously, in most cases. The women usually don't do testosterone or derivatives of testosterone, with the exception of a little bit of like short cycles of some oral steroids, which are not the best for you, actually. But
Totally.
tends to be like lighter with women in terms of like the drugs. So I don't know. I guess I would understand because, like, hey, I did it. But
Yeah,
on
same.
the other hand, it's like,
I did it
don't do too much
briefly
clenbuterol, T3.
in
That shit's bad for
2010.
you.
I experimented with Winnie V. Wenstel. So that's why I have this wonderful scar on my arm.
How'd you get that?
Broken window.
Oh, no shit. You're like,
or as Whitney said, nice. I didn't know my own strength. And then, you get to the ER and then they ask you to pee. Oh, can I go to the, no, you need to do it right here. And then you start realize, they know.
Yeah, but they didn't go to test you for steroids, right? Nobody ever tests for steroids.
I was approached about
expensive.
It was the cheap low grade stuff. And it was still, my family was like, why did you do this? And I said, I wanted to lean out more, but I was already, and then I wanted to put size on. And then I remember working out one night and watching Doctor Who, and I was doing the kettlebells and everything, and I'm realizing I don't need this stuff because I couldn't sleep on it. That was the other thing. I just couldn't, it was horrible. And then what I did is I just, one day just flushed it down the toilet. But you look at the industry now and it's like obvious. I mean, we were talking about Hugh Jackman earlier.
Yeah.
Obviously on the sauce. Obviously doing other things.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. You never know. But how it's very conducive within the fitness industry. It's like, okay, if you want to get there, you've got to just go to the finish line quickly versus putting all the work in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are like certain looks that you can achieve naturally.
Yeah.
Like there's a certain combination of like muscle mass and leanness that like the human body is kind of like, we'll do this without drugs. But then there are like levels of leanness and size. It's like the combination, the intersection of leanness and size is a different place if you're natural. And there are a lot of natural bodybuilders and natural athletes that look great. That I'm like, you know, you can take your shirt off at a party or like a like the pool or whatever, like look incredible and people will be attracted to you and you'd get attention. But then it's like when winter rolls around and you put your coat on, like people don't know that person's a bodybuilder anymore because they got their winter coat on and their hoodie and stuff. And that doesn't happen to steroid using bodybuilders. It doesn't matter how cold it is, how many like blankets you got over you. When you're Phil Heath, Ronnie Coleman, like you, it doesn't matter if you're covered up. You look big and your muscles are like popping off of you because they're so like round and full. And that look is only achieved via the drugs. Yes. So like the idea that people sometimes have, they think, oh, well, you know, the drugs are really just a shortcut. And I have to dispel that idea. And I'm like, nah, dog, like the drugs are the only way that you're flying to the moon.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like if if I was going to come visit you, for instance, I'm in New Hampshire, you're in California, we're across the United States. I could take a car and I could road trip out there, but it would take me probably 4 days to get out there.
Yeah.
It's not a very efficient way to come visit you. I would rather spend those days hanging out.
Yeah.
So like I would fly to California and then I've just taken 4 days and turned it into like a day of traveling, you know, with the airport and the flight and everything like that. So like that to me is a shortcut. Like the airplane is a shortcut for the road trip. But like if I want to go to the moon, like if I want to go visit the moon, I want to like fuck a moon night on the moon, I have to get on a rocket ship. It's not a plane. It's not a car. Like whatever your like your common means of transportation are, you can do that to get around the United States. But like the natural guys are like they're going from California to New Hampshire and that's impressive. But like the guys who use steroids and compete at the highest levels, those motherfuckers are like pissing on the planet Earth while they're on the moon. They're like watching all the natural guys, you know, bulk and cut 20 pounds. Meanwhile, they're like 310 pounds in the off season and not over 8% body fat. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's why I say it's not good for you either to be that guy on the moon. Like that ain't good for you. Taking rocket ships like that all day, every day. That ain't good for you.
So like now where you're at if you were to start training now through like a limited kind of thing, we would say.
Yeah.
Because you have that muscle memory. You never lose that muscle
memory. Yeah. And there's a proliferation of nuclei.
Okay.
Within the muscle. The muscle muscle cells, muscle fibers.
Yes.
They're like the only cell that's multinucleated. And the reason being is like the nucleus is where like all the nucleus is basically where all of the RNA that gets converted into protein is built. So okay. Like your muscles are made up of proteins. Mm. And so you need a lot of protein to be created in the muscle. Like you need the cells to be turning over a lot of protein in the muscle, building up a lot of new protein to feed the muscle. So the muscle, like as a structure, can work. So like the muscle tends to be multinucleated. It's like the only cell in the human body that has more than one nuclei. Most cells only have one nucleus in the human, you know, in humans, but the muscle cells have multiple and scientific research has shown that steroid use does cause a proliferation or an increase in the nuclei in the muscle cells. That does tend to be permanent. I mean, most things go back to normal once you're off steroids, right? It's like any drug, like you can only exert its effect while it's in you. Mm-hmm. And once it's out of you, you don't get the effect of the drug anymore. Although some drugs will cause like permanent physiological changes. And like for steroids, the one that I've really seen research on is the nuclear proliferation. So I think, you know, obviously that's what people tend to refer to as muscle memory, where, you know, it's a little bit easier to build it up.
What about SARMs?
SARMs are, I mean, I think people turn to SARMs because they're like gray area legality.
Okay.
So like I have used SARMs in the past and I've never been like super impressed with the results. Okay. Like, you know, I think if that's all you have, then, you know, that's what you do. Mm-hmm. But, so if that's all you got, that's what you do.
Yeah.
But if you've got access, I mean, if you're going to use stuff that might potentially be dangerous, might have some effect on your health, I would just use steroids, you know what I mean? Instead of just like, the idea behind the SARMs, I guess, is like, what if we had a steroid that didn't have the side effects? Like, what if we give you a drug that would act like testosterone in certain areas, but then it wouldn't do things in other areas? It wouldn't, you know, cause ventricular hypertrophy or something like that. And like, that'd be cool, but I don't think they've invented that yet. So I don't think they have any SARMs that are like, you know, like that yet, that do that yet. So, you know.
If I were to come out there and we were to train, how would you necessarily help me put on size?
Yeah, I mean, in training terms, it's really about like maximal effort, and optimal recovery. And then the other half of that is like nutrition. You've obviously got to consume, you got to consume enough calories to like grow.
Yeah.
You know, you got to eat more than you burn calorically, and then ensure that you're consuming like the right amount of the various nutrients. Typically you want to consume pretty nutrient dense food, and most bodybuilders get large by eating fairly like nutritious whole food and not, you know, like processed stuff or empty calories or whatever.
Yeah, because I stopped
like,
eating.
Yeah, like there's a lot of junk food out there that has a lot of calories, but that doesn't tend to be a staple food for most bodybuilders just because it's not really, it's calories and it's like yummy, but you know, you want to make sure you're getting plenty of protein and stuff too. So.
Yeah. Cause we talked about that. It was like, that was always my paranoia was, okay, got to get the 50 grams of protein. Oh, 30. That's not enough.
Yeah.
You know? And I think I kind of overdid it because I was eating like a bird. Because I wasn't taking as much carbs in. Every now and then, I think I would talk to you and I would take like, okay, I'm going to take 20 grams of carbs.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't eat any bread. My carbs really were from usually, you know, things like what we talked about, what are those things called? The cakes, the rice cakes.
Yeah.
And then every now and then
I have
brown rice.
Rice cakes are good diet food just because, you know, it's it's airy and not very dense.
Okay.
You know. But I don't think that they're like for putting on size, you know,
okay.
we're talking about something different than dieting. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, I think you can certainly get leaner.
Okay.
When you're restricting carbohydrate. In fact, that's how a lot of folks do tend to like get leaner.
Okay.
But I think if you're trying to put on size, I think reducing your carbohydrate really low is a mistake.
Okay.
I think that you're if you're really trying to put on weight, obviously you need the calories
yes.
to exceed whatever it is that you burn. So, you know, getting a good source of carbohydrate, you know, like a whole food source of carbohydrate, like bread is okay. Like you can have a sandwich, but I think the staples would be like potatoes, rice, very frequent. You know, people go back and forth, like sweet potatoes,
okay.
white potatoes,
like potatoes, yeah,
rice. Yeah. So, like those are all good,
okay.
you know, whole food sources of carbohydrate. And that's good for when you're trying to put on size and like you actually get bigger, you want to consume source of carbohydrate as well. Because really that's going to be the primary fuel for your body during the period of time that you're trying to grow.
Okay.
You really don't want to. You don't want to give your body any reason to burn proteins.
Okay.
You know, like the body will consume amino acids from the diet or from your muscle if it needs to, right? Like if you're not getting enough calories, then, you know, like muscle will break down. And obviously you don't want to lose any muscle when you're getting lean. So, you know, and you certainly don't want to be encouraging any protein breakdown when you're.
No, I mean, over the summer, I think I went from, and I remember because I had gone to the doctor, they weighed me, it was 221, and then gradually, you know, everything I threw in there, gym, interval training.
Yeah. You lost a crazy amount of weight.
I'm about 170 now.
Yeah, that's pretty badass. Like, that's a lot for the relatively short period of time.
Oh, yes.
You know? Health industry usually looks at about a pound to 2 pounds a week as being kind of like a good aggregate average. Like, you know, it's realistic, it's attainable. It doesn't require people to do anything real, like crazy or off the wall, like diet wise. So, you know, that's usually the goal that we give is like, you know, if you can lose a pound a week on average, it doesn't have to be every single week. Some weeks people don't lose any weight at all, but then, you know, you might lose 2 pounds the next week and it averages out about a pound a week. Because, you know, then you can lose 50 pounds in a year.
Yeah.
You know, you could lose even more if you're losing a little bit more than 1 pound per week on average. But,
yeah.
But like, I think your average was up there. I mean, like you were probably closer to the 2 pound per week average body weight loss.
I was doing
pretty good.
Training. I was doing weight training, then I was hiking almost every day, and that kind of helped me, you know, in terms of, because it was therapeutic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also, I stopped doing the interval training because, as you know, I'm a former diabetic. I think I'm pre now, and even now I don't have the after effects of, you know, I don't have the pins and needles anymore.
Yeah.
I can drink alcohol, and it doesn't bother me, but I know my limits.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I noticed though is that when you do it fast, you do have the excess skin, you have all that.
And
fixing that, some people have told me I would need surgery. Some people have said no, it will gradually over time.
Yeah.
You
get yeah.
some laser treatment and do this.
Yeah. I'm not an expert on like excess skin, like post bariatric. I know it's very common, like for bariatric patients to, you know, like it really, there I think there's a couple factors that play into it. I think age is one of those mm-hmm. things. I think that people who tend to have bariatric surgery mostly tend to be a little bit older, because it takes time to build your weight up to a yes. level where you're going to go have like a Roux-en-Y gastric bypass or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know, there probably are some young people who have it done, but I think they're more like the outliers. I think people who are having, you know, bariatric surgeries tend to be a little bit older individuals. And that's also tied to the fact that like weight is gained over time. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're fairly young, you can kind of bounce back from that. Like, you know, you've got a little bit more like elasticity, you got a little bit more like growth hormone and like more natural hormones that kind of help, you know, help with the elasticity. But, you know, I think that a lot of it depends on how much weight one loses too. Like, you know, people will lose like 5 or 10 vanity pounds before going to the beach. I mean, these are like mostly normal weight folks. Mm-hmm. Some folks that I've worked with in the past, like normal weight, but it's like, I want to lose 10 mm-hmm. pounds because I'm going to the beach in 2 months or whatever. And it's like, all right, cool. Like, you know, it's not like I need to lose 100 pounds because I've got heart disease or diabetes or something like that. So it's like a little bit of a different story, I think, for people who lose large amounts of weight, mm-hmm. 50, 100 more pounds. I think you do tend to deal with a little bit of like excess skin left over. And that, you know, the issue with the skin is that unlike the fat, it doesn't really, those cells don't really shrink. Mm-hmm. And you've got connective tissue that's there, that's built, that really doesn't like shrink or recede. Mm. So I don't know for sure, like what the effect of time is on like excess skin. Okay. And I know that like maintaining weight loss is hard enough. Yes. I don't know if people, I don't know if there's like a lot of research on like what happens to excess mm-hmm. skin post weight loss over the course of, you know, 5 or 10 years, but I would imagine that, like a lot of folks do have some of that like surgically removed, and that's more cosmetic. That's just, you know, people want to have some excess skin removed.
I've been told, and told like, also that like if you do like the lotion,
like vitamin E oil, is supposed to be good for like scars and stuff like that. I don't know what it'll do for. I really like. I don't know what like the medical therapy is for like the excess skin.
But that's the only thing. It's like okay. And then I haven't really been working out. And so I'm basically losing and not really trying.
Yeah.
So there's that, you know, that's, and it's more so a stress thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, like the weight loss that comes from like stress and even it is more like illness weight loss, where it's not always a good kind of weight loss or desirable kind of weight loss. No. Cause if you're stressed and you're losing weight, a lot of times it's like people aren't eating, their mm-hmm. appetite is lower, so they're not, their intake is poor. And so obviously the problem with that is that, you know, protein, like muscle loss is a concern. You know,
so I should start training again.
I would, and you know, try to, you know, get a good intake. Another problem with a poor intake because of stress and stuff is that, and another reason why it kind of tends to mimic illness more is that, you know, if you're not eating, then you're not getting nutrients that you need. You're not getting vitamins and minerals and stuff like that. It's like you need, you know, to have general good health as well. Like you need your B vitamins and you know, you want to avoid, like some of the stuff that comes with those deficiencies are pretty easily treatable, but at the same time, it's like, why? So like if people are consuming like very low intakes, you know, because they're stressed, they're skipping meals, whatever, you know, that looks like 500, 600 calories a day. There's like really extremely low intakes and it's hard to get all of the like nutritional adequacy. Yeah. It's hard to get all your calcium and vitamin D if you're not taking in much food.
Yeah. So, when I went to the festival that I went to, we did eat a lot. We drank a lot. And my friend that I was hanging out with, he does the Olympic lifting. So he's got like massive shoulders. And I mean, it's almost like he's built like a bear, you know?
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, what are you doing? He says, I do the, and then I do, what is it? He does deadlifts and stuff like that. And he formerly was a nurse. And so he had told me, he had studied, you know, kinesiology and all that.
Yeah.
And knew all the ins and outs of, what is it we call
hypertrophy?
Hypertrophy, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Say that 7 times fast. And we would discuss that. And so, I mean, and he knows his stuff and it's like, yeah. But like those four days of festival, I mean, it was nothing but, hey, let's go here, let's eat there.
Yeah.
And my brain is worrying, oh my God, I'm having bread.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or two mimosas. And And you know, a little goes a long way, shall we say.
Which so, I think treating the diabetes will kind of train you to look at like sources of carbohydrates, like mimosas. Like, you know, I seldom drink, but when I do, I'm not like, I absolutely won't fuck with like daiquiris or margaritas or like the stuff that has a lot of like sugar in it. And that's just like being a diabetic. Yeah. You just, you know, like you're trained to look at that and like, I'll eat carbohydrate, but I don't really want to drink carbohydrate at all. I'm low and I need to get up.
Yeah, I found that out the hard way that I'm not much of a drinker. I'm more of, you know, the other thing. But also, like, with me, the white potatoes, you know, I even still to this day can't eat French fries.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
I had
that's probably for
powder
the
earlier, and I can't. Whoa, look at those. Yes, yes, the bits, yes. Oh man, I know, but it's like I can't. I had some stew not too long ago. Some friends made me some stew, and I avoided the white potatoes. I look at white potatoes now, and it's like Arnold, you know, but potatoes mean but da, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I know plenty of bodybuilders eat white potatoes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think you'll see stuff like, oh, sweet potatoes are better for you, but. I think white potatoes are fine.
Okay.
I wouldn't eat them fried.
Mm.
You know, not often at least. Like French fries are good, but like I wouldn't you know, I wouldn't like eat those too often, but yeah, like white potatoes. I used to eat I still eat white potatoes from time to time. Not as much as before, but like I would eat white potatoes, it's just like sweet potatoes. Like you just like eating the same. You know, you got like 4 carbohydrate sources, you know, it's like, I need something a little bit like oatmeal, rice, sweet potato, white potato. It's like, I need as many sources as I can get. Cause I'm eating the same shit every day. And some people are good at that, but I was never very good at eating the same shit.
Cause it like gets boring. It's repetitive.
Yeah. And variety is the spice of life in my opinion.
Totally.
And so like that part was always the part, you know, like I like food like that was like my thing. Like I like food.
Mm-hmm.
I like eating. I like eating bullshit food. And so for me it's like I knew people who were in bodybuilding too, like guys that would do it with me, and some of them like, I don't think these motherfuckers like food very much, and that made it easy for them to just kind of eat the same shit day in and day out. And some people really appreciate the regimented, like I don't have to think because I eat the same shit. Like my wife's parents are like that. They eat the same thing. Like every Tuesday is taco night. And it's like, if you say something to them on a Tuesday, like let's have chicken pot pie.
Yeah.
They're like, get the fuck out. Get the fuck out right now. Cause we have tacos. So get the fuck out of here right now. If you want to have chicken pot pie.
Taco Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday.
Yeah.
But it's like, they would look at you and be like, dude, chicken pot pie is on Friday. Like, but it's like regimented, and I think a lot of people like find that like comforting in a way. It's like something you can kind of count on, and you sort of have this control over your day to day and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so like I don't think it's weird of them to have this diet, but I feel like the type of person who's they like to have, like, I eat the same shit at 11 a.m. every single day. And then at 2 p.m., I eat the same thing every single day.
Mm.
I think that type of person does pretty well mm-hmm. in bodybuilding, just because so much of it is the diet mm-hmm. and the food and the intake. And that if you're like me and you're just like, man, I want to fucking go rogue. Like, I don't want to
sushi.
I don't want to plan everything out. Like every meal for the rest of my life. I don't want to plan like, you know, eat the same shit. So yeah, I mean, for me, it was a lot harder, like that aspect where I think some people like that aspect was a lot easier for some folks. And so, yeah, you need the variety.
Totally.
You need the variety in the carbs. So that's why I say like white potatoes are good too. Okay. You know, just don't like slather them with butter and sour cream.
So
cheese and all the bullshit. You see the bullshit people put on a potato. It's like,
oh, yeah.
You got any potato under that thing? You got fucking butter and cheese and sour cream and bacon. And
yeah.
Holy fuck. Like, where's the actual potato, dog?
So 6 years later, how do you feel in terms of leaving bodybuilding behind 6 years later?
I think I'm probably healthier.
Okay.
I mean, like. I sit a lot closer to 200, 215 pounds. I used to be like 275. And I just like, you know, even if it's mostly muscle, I don't think it's like, you know, your heart still has to like work to get blood and nutrients like throughout that body. So I think, you know, I think if you look at like statistically, the people who tended to be healthier, especially into their older age, tended to be like smaller people.
Yes.
And so like, yeah, I think there is some health benefit to like living a more, I don't know, just kind of normie type of life.
Okay.
So I think I'm probably healthier physically. Like I don't have a cardiomyopathy anymore. My heart healed.
Nice.
So that's good. I did have a cardiomyopathy in 2017, probably part of 2016 too. So it's like, you know, I think I'm healthier for sure.
Okay.
Like, sure, you like, I think you kind of miss it. Like, I do. I think a lot of folks, you know, you stop doing something like that and you sort of do every single day. But it's also, it's like I was saying before, like, I'd be so focused, you know what I mean? And like, particularly during contest prep, it's like nothing else. Like, you can't pay attention to other shit. And so that's kind of tough, I think, too. Like, it's easier when you're young and you're single and you're, you know, like you don't have a ton of commitments. But I think like once you're a little older and you got like kids and you got a family and you got a job and, you know, I think it's like it's a little bit harder to juggle the various commitments and more stress.
Yeah.
So I'm probably not as stressed in that regard.
Okay.
And like, you know, I wound up doing other stuff. Like I was so focused on bodybuilding that I didn't really think about podcasting. Like I sort of thought about it, but like, it wasn't something that I could really devote much of my like mental energies to. So I didn't really, it wasn't, you know, there's some hobbies that I like reconnected with some hobbies, some stuff that I liked doing when I was younger and shit, Tai Chi and stuff like that. Mm. I just didn't have time for, it was a very consuming hobby. It was like really hard to have time for other interests.
Yeah.
Which I do have, like, you know, I'm interested in other things. So it's kind of nice now also being able to, you know, pursue other interests and, you know, eat normal food with my kids and shit, you know, take my kids to McDonald's sometimes and have a French fry.
I know. Does Christina miss bodybuilding Jason?
Yes and no.
Ooh.
I mean, yes and no. I'm sure that there are times when I'm like stepping out of the shower these days and she's like, where did the abs go? And now you're covered in hair. You look like the Pillsbury Doughboy rolled around on the floor at a fucking Great Clips. You just like a hairy, doughy, pasty white little dude that giggles too much. You know what I mean? Like, that's not, I'm sure she thinks that sometimes, but then there are other times where I'm sure she's like,
he's
happy that I don't have like a cooler that's full of food and I'm not like pull over because it's 2:17 on the dot and I have to eat right now. And so it's like there's aspects of that lifestyle that are like hard to deal with, like, you know, like the bodybuilder is like, I've got to eat precisely 4 ounces of chicken, and I can't give you a bite of my chicken because if you take a bite of my chicken then I will only get 47 grams of protein, and I need precisely 54 grams of protein, and the bite that you take will take 7 grams of protein away from me. And like, it's just, it's like you tracking every little, like, you know, every little thing, and like, you know, going over to her parents and I'm bringing food and they're having like a cookout because it's July. I'm like, ah, we're doing hot dogs and hamburgers. And I'm like, I'll bring my chicken, you know, I'm just eating out of a Tupperware while her whole family is, you know, like actually just behaving like most human beings do, just eating a fucking hot dog. You know what I mean? Like, so it's stuff like that. It's like, I can just, I'll just have a fucking burger now. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a big deal. So like, I'm sure there are times where she's like thankful that I'm not, you know, like I'm not like roided up. I'm not, I mean, that's a blessing and a curse, right?
Yeah.
You look good when you're fucking roided up. It's like, you know,
I will,
but then it's also like, you know, I gotta inject you again.
Yeah. And you know, at the same time, you look at it, you're healthy.
Yeah.
You're happy. You know, I think we live in a world where body dysmorphia is such a, that's the only reason why I did the
rinse
in the first place, was the body dysmorphia, because I wanted more.
Yeah.
I wasn't satisfied. And now, you know, it's like, okay, gradually get back into the focus of it. Doing the regular stuff. But, you know, I've run across people who it's like, you know, they're not perfect. And it's like, yeah, you don't need to be perfect. You know what I mean? I think when we go to the gym, you know, we see, like, I would see people bigger than me and they'd look at me like, what is this little guy going to do? That's like, you know, well, I'm doing what I need to do. I'm not trying to step into your lane. You know what I mean?
Is what you're going to do.
Yeah.
What's this little guy going to do? Live to 60. That's what he's going to do. He's not going to have a fucking heart attack at 53.
Because I would go in and I would do the assisted pull-ups and I would do the dips and everything. And every now and then, you know, okay, I would, you know, if it was free, I would use, you know, the, what is it? I don't even know. I'm so tired. But I would do different things.
You look like Hugh Jackman over here with his personal trainer.
Hugh Jackman
and his spotter.
That book was gonna be interesting, but see, that's the thing. You look at someone in the media like Hugh Jackman or Arnold Schwarzenegger or Lou Ferrigno, and how you look at Arnold as he got older, okay, and things started to change and he started to shrink, and even Lou, you look at Hugh Jackman, who's maybe 55. And it's like, what? Yeah. So there's all those different aspects to it.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, like, as good as Hugh looks and as big as he looked in that photo that we were looking at earlier, like, he's not Ronnie Coleman. He's not Heath. He's not Kai Greene. Like, he looked big. He looked very, like, his muscles looked very full.
Yeah.
Like, they had that good, like, roundness to them. And to me, that says, you know, probably using a little bit of something to assist you, because of like, he still looked very lean, like, but the muscles were still like very like round and sort of like very full looking. They looked very like pumped up in that sense. And usually that's how you can kind of tell. Cause like I've seen Hugh Jackman in the past, you know, and he looks fit, but he looks like the kind of guy who rides a bike or runs marathons, you know, like he looks fit. He looks like a healthy guy. But then when you see him, you know, 6 months later, and he's just like, so like, he's still lean, but he's like pull like 30 pounds heavier. And you're like, well, how did he put on 30 pounds of just fucking muscle, especially at that age? Like,
yeah,
you know, it's one thing if he was 25, you put on 30 pounds of muscle in a year, maybe you could do it at a young age. But like, dude, when you start getting like, as a dude, you start getting to be like 50 something. It's not like your body's churning out testosterone like it used to. Like, testosterone levels tend to decline with age. And so for him to be doing it now at his age, I mean, he ought to be worried about sarcopenia.
Yeah.
He's not. He's looking bigger than he did for the first X-Men.
I know.
You ever watched the first X-Men movie? He takes off his shirt and shit and you're like, who is this flat little dude? Like, he looks totally soft. Different. Like, he got marshmallow skin, you know, he looked natural. Yeah. He looked like he was decently fit, but he looked natural because he had that kind of like marshmallow, like sort of wetness to the skin where it looks like you could kind of push it in. But like, you see him in later years when he did the Wolverine, the one where he went to Japan.
That's where the budget's going to go up.
Yeah, and he's just fucking ripped. And also the money goes up, too. Like, you go from being this dude in 2000 that's got no money, but then, I don't know, man. Like, even I'd get back on the sauce if you're making, like, a $200 million movie and they're going to give you a cut of that. You're like, all right, I'll sauce up for I'll sauce up for 4 months for that. Yeah.
So
he's probably not doing a lot of the really harsh shit either, you know?
No. So what would you say to the audience who they want to get back into the gym and they're in their 40s like we are?
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
I would say that I'm only 29.
I'm
just kidding.
I'm only 35.
I'm 29, but I've been 29 for the last 13 years.
Yeah.
but I would say, you know, like, just go, you know, like, don't let perfect be the enemy of good, you know, like, you may not have like a perfect routine and your schedule may not be perfect, but like, something is better than nothing when it comes to exercise. And, you know, if there's something you want to do, even if it's not going to the gym, like, just do it. You know what I mean? Because, like, that asteroid that killed the dinosaurs could come back for round two and fucking wipe us all out.
The night, so man.
You could lose. You could complete. Yeah. The fucking reptilians could enslave us at any minute. You know what I mean? And we find out that Area 51, and the fucking aliens come down and they're fucking barbecuing us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I would say get in there and go.
Okay.
I would say you don't need a personal trainer. You know, this is coming from me. I used to work as a personal trainer, and I used to derive a bit of my income as a personal trainer. But I'd say we're not necessary. You can educate yourself on it online.
Totally, yes.
If you have a friend who's more experienced, then sometimes they can help you with your form. But you know, I would say you probably don't need to have a personal trainer, and just, like, you know, get in there and do something, you know.
Okay.
Get in there and do something, lift something, ride a bike, do an elliptical, you know, go in there for like an hour, listen to some tunes, you know, it's good for your mental health as well.
Yeah.
You listen to some music and, like, just get a little, like, zen, or even go for a walk. That shit is like, you were saying, you go hiking.
I go hiking.
It's like mentally, it's good. You know, climbing, it's good for you to get out and, like, go for a walk.
Like Julianne.
Yeah.
And I'm not singing The Hills Are Alive. You know what I mean?
I do. Well, I go for walks here in New Hampshire. I mean, it's like
in the
kind
cold?
Of the same thing. Well, it was warmer when I was walking outside. I did not go for a walk today because it was snowy. I didn't feel like slipping and breaking my old fucking hip because I'm an old man.
Yeah. We're in you're 42? No, you're 29. You're 29.
Yeah.
I'm 35.
For 13 consecutive years. Yeah.
Same. So, it's been fun. I know you got to go to bed.
I actually, like, kind of surprised, like, I'm watching my monitor here.
Nice.
Everyone's asleep.
That's good.
Fucking everyone in this house is asleep but me right now.
Well.
And it's lovely. It's a lovely feeling to be, like, awake and everyone's asleep and everyone's peaceful. No one's crying. No one's screaming. No one's throwing shit. No one's shitting their pants. All stuff that happened, like, today. But also, it's like, as soon as I lay my head down, one or more of these little fuckers are gonna, like, pop up and be like, you know. So it's
like just, that book, The Sleeping House, where everyone is sleeping. Yes,
The Napping House.
Yes,
The Napping House, where everyone is sleeping.
Yes,
I wish everyone would sleep in this fucking house.
Yes. Well, it's been fun. Thank you for talking about
anytime. Dr. Seuss, I come on your show anytime. I talk to you about pumping iron. Milk is for babies. When you're a man, you have to drink beer.
For man, yeah.
Yeah, when you grow up, you have to drink beer.
He drinks the protein with schnapps.
Protein and schnapps, yeah. It's a very good combination.
He's like, it goes to the blood faster.
Yeah, because the alcohol will vasodilate you, and it will open up all of the blood vessels, and then you know, the blood will move through much quicker and absorb the protein and move the proteins around to the different tissues inside your body, and then you know, it's also, you know, it's fun to have a little bit of a drink after the gym, yeah. You know?
Well, Jason.
I like to drink.
Get some rest, man.
Hell yeah.
Unpleasant dreams.
Unpleasant dreams, everybody.
Bye.